Ronnie had taken to coming by to fetch the twins, and he often stopped to chat, leaning on one of the planters.
I never thought 19 women and a bunch of children could make this much difference. You've galvanized the colony, is what you've done. The extra supplies help, but it's you, Ruth Ann, you and the rest of them who've waked us up and gotten us moving.
Ruth Ann glanced sideways at him, thinking that he hadn't learned at all yet, even so. Greatly daring, but also confident, she reached to the basket of hand tools, handing him a weeder and nodding to the planter he leaned on.
While you're resting.
You never do stop working, do you?
You don't have to rush if you don't get behind. Those stickery ones are the weeds.
Yes, ma'am. I'll learn in the end.
Ruth Ann found it easier to bring up what she wanted to ask Ronnie when he was bending over the tangled growth, weeding.
By the way, those twins of yours, I can't believe you're Raphael aboard them. She's so tiny.
Ronnie's ears turned redder.
She didn't. They're adopted.
It doesn't matter to God. What it is, though, and I know I'm being presumptuous, but that Salomar, he reminds me of someone.
The back of Ronnie's neck went 3 shades darker, not counting the sunburn.
Who?
I'm thinking.
Ruth Ann folded her needle away because her hand had started shaking.
I'm thinking he reminds me of Mitch. And I'm thinking, if there's any reason he should mind me of Mitch, that you might be worrying that I'd notice. You've been awful good to us, and I don't want to worry you. So if it is that, what I'm thinking of, then I want you to know that I don't mind. And I'm glad to have the boy around, both of them.
Ronnie's shoulders bunched.
I won't say any more.
Ronnie turned around. His eyes were bright with unshed tears.
It's all right. We didn't know you were coming, but... Oh, I'm making a mess of this. Rafa will kill me. But if you've guessed, you've guessed.
I bore 9 of that man's children. I know their stamp.
Ruth Ann said nothing of Peter's father, though she knew exactly who that red hair reminded her of.
Brun wanted a good home for them. She was afraid they might be stolen away and used against her.
Ruth Ann still could not understand a woman not clinging to her own flesh and blood, but she wasn't going to argue that now. If their mother had been a natural mother, she herself wouldn't have this chance.
You don't have to defend her to me. You don't know what a blessing it is to have those children here. I've worried and worried. That's the last bit of Mitch I'll ever see. And I wanted to know the children were safe. Will Raphaela mind? I'm not going to interfere, I promise you.
She'll skin me, but she'll hug you. Ruth Ann, you are a very, very unusual lady.
I try to be a good woman.
Ruth Ann felt a bubble of delight that would not be denied. She stood up and let her head fall back.
Praise God you aren't angry with me for seeing what I saw, and you won't keep me from him. I never thought to be happy again, and here I am, happier than I've ever been.
Confession, for a member of the Order of Swords who had been on a mission, must always be to a priest of the Order. Even so, there were things no one confessed, not if he wanted to live. The priests had the right, ecclesiastical and legal, to mete out punishment, including death. Hostite Fiedi knelt in silence, awaiting the priest's arrival, and thought about what he had to confess and what he had to conceal. As a young man, he had found distinguishing between debriefing and confession very difficult, but now it was second nature. Hostite began the old, familiar ritual.
Forgive me, Father, for
even as his voice continued the opening phrases, his mind was dividing, as sheep from goats, the truths he must repent from the other truths of which he must not repent, as long as he was a swordmaster.
It has been a long time.
I was on a mission to distant worlds.
Beyond the Church's dominion?
Nothing is beyond the Church's dominion. But this was far from any priest of the Order of Swords.
Ah. Go on, then.
Category by category, Hostite laid his soul's burden out. The temptations acted upon, and those merely dwelt upon in the mind. the orders followed which ought not to have been followed, and the opposite. He was heartily sorry for them all, for the necessities which his duty placed upon his conscience, when he would have been happy to live in peace all his days, with no more to confess than a lustful glance at someone's daughter.
And have you any other sins? Lust, perhaps?
They always asked about lust, though by now they should know that his conditioning had destroyed that possibility. He answered as always, and as always received his penance in true submission of spirit. When he was too old to be of service, when the master of the Order of Swords commanded, he would confess the last of his sins and go to his death clean-hearted, no longer the shadow of the dancers, but filled with light. So it had been promised him, and so he believed. There was no other life but this possible, and no other future to which he belonged.
Hastite!
The master's call brought Hastite out of the reverie which a long penance produced. He rose smoothly from his knees and turned.
Milord.
The chairman would like an expansion of your report on the situation in the Familius.
Milord.
We will be granted an audience this afternoon. I will accompany you, as will Iagen Perseus.
Perseus, another who had recently completed a mission in the Familius. Hastite was elder by 3 years, but he knew Perseus as a competent agent.
You will report to the Order's clothier for a fitting now.
Yes, Milord.
Hastite bowed. The master withdrew from the chapel, and Hastite made his way to the storerooms in which the Order kept all the costumes its members might need. He did not dwell upon the afternoon's meeting. Rumor had many things to say about audiences with the chairman, but Hastite had been there before, and in any case feared nothing, including death. The costume appropriate for a swordmaster in this instance was simple enough. The bodysuit of black stretch knit fit like skin, and incidentally left no space for hidden weapons. The scarlet velvet cap matched scarlet velvet slippers and denoted his swordmaster rank. Looped through the shoulder epaulets were cords of gold, green, and red silk. The level of experience, the number of assassinations, domestic and foreign. The whole story of his career if one knew how to read it. And the chairman certainly did. As he was checking the fit of the slippers, Iagen Perseus came in. He nodded, but did not speak. Hastite nodded in return. They could not discuss their missions until after the report to the chairman, lest they be suspected of colluding in some error. From then until lunch, Hastite reviewed his debriefing cube, correcting minor errors in transcription with a coded data wand. 4 seats down, Perseus was doing the same thing. At lunch, they ate at different tables in the order mess. Hastite restricted himself, as his penance required, to clear soup and water with a lump of sinner's bread, a hard, sour, unleavened lump that offered just enough nourishment to ensure that the penitent could perform any necessary duty. Outside the chairman's office, the master of the Order of Swords handed his red cut velvet cloak to the gray-uniformed guards and unbuckled his sword belt. Hastite wondered why the master was required to wear a full dress and then relinquish the cloak and swords, but he pushed the question aside. Tradition required it, that was all. He and Perseus doffed their velvet caps for inspection, then put them back on.